Christ. Be empowered. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Ha. Amen. We cannot do it on our own to stand before God's people and to be given the opportunity to speak like this. It's a privilege, and we pray that God will help us deliver in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody, are you excited? Today is day 6, and it's the 7th day of the year 2024, and it's even the first Sunday of the year, and you are alive. Hallelujah. Something is going on. The Lord will bless us. Yesterday, my beloved brother, Pastor Olumide, took an exhortation, and our daddy came and re-echoed it again and spoke about character. And really, I was coming today to speak on something different, you know, something completely different, but something that will also help us in 2024. And while I was just lying down on the chair, still thinking, battling in my mind, I heard the word diligence. I heard diligence. I said diligence. Diligence. You know, that statement is a very common statement in scripture. True of us. Proverbs 22 verse 29 is one of the, you know, very popular ones we can find. Proverbs 22, 29. It says, see it down, I'm waiting for IT to show us. Okay, we all have Bibles for our online members. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, see thou a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. See thou a man diligent. The Bible is, you see, Proverbs is very, God chooses his language. Hallelujah. God would have said, see thou a man serious, or see thou a man who is very hardworking. No, he said diligent, because he wants to stress that statement. That man will not stand before ordinary people. To be diligent is to be earnest. It is not just something you do, you know, casually. You do it with what we call energetic effort. You put effort to what you want to do. If you are just going to be, you know, soft about it, you may not achieve the goal. A diligent person must be very devoted. Am I speaking to somebody? A diligent person must be devoted. You must have passion to do that great work. Hallelujah. You must pay attention to detail. A diligent person does not work anyhow. See thou a man diligent in his business. A man who is diligent in his business keeps record, takes account. Anybody that does the business anyhow, you will not have any results. Even if there's a prophecy hanging on your head. And I heard our daddy stressing that it's not Sunday or Friday. No matter how you try to do it with the oil poured on your head, if you are not going to be diligent to that work, you say, I listened to a short clip somewhere. It's a man of God who said, there's a prophecy hanging on your head, or you have received the word of the Lord. Then you are a farmer. You just carry your bow. You carry your, what's it called? Your shovel or your rake or whatever. And you are going to your farm. And because it is in rainy season, rain has fell, you know. And then you go there. Somebody meets you on the road and the person is asking you, where are you going to? You say you want to go and harvest what you didn't plant. That's not the kind of miracle we are expecting. No? Right. Hallelujah. Amen. The bride of Christ in 2024, you must be diligent. Amen. I want you to say that to yourself. Say, be diligent. It's a very serious matter. That's right. There are many things to say, but I'll use the time I have and the ability I have and just convey the one I know how to convey. Amen. Be diligent. Examine things carefully and correctly. It involves a lot of effort. It cannot be done ordinarily, just anyhow. Hallelujah. Children of God, the Bible commands us to be diligent. Let's see a scripture that we can start with. It's a year of restoration. A promise of God is hanging on our head. Jeremiah 33, if I'm not mistaken. If we are not diligent to certain things that God wants us to do this year, it may just pass you by. So brothers and sisters, take note of what I want to say this evening. It may sound very normal, but it will strike somebody this afternoon by God's grace. Amen. Let's look at a scripture. And before that, I want you to know that although there's a promise of God for you this year, Satan can fight it. You didn't hear me? Satan is a fighter. Satan is a thief. Satan is out to resist. Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Matthew 2, 7 and 8. A promise that Satan tried to fight. Matthew 2, 7. He said, then Herod, when he had privately or privily called the wise men, inquired of them how. He inquired of them how. How did he inquire of them? So even Satan does his work diligently. Satan is going to be diligent in 2024 against your progress. Satan is going to be very intentional about stopping you. Satan is not joking. We have entered a new year with so much promises from God, a year of restoration. But Satan is not going to be joking about it. The man searched diligently. We are still reading. He searched diligently. He searched diligently. What time the star had appeared? Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. A young child, a promised child, somebody that is coming to save us. The man is already searching diligently for the boy to cut his life. Diligently. So, child of God, Satan is looking diligently to stop you. But that sister, you cannot fight a full-time devil as a part-time believer. Should I say it again? Satan is full-time in his business. You are part-time. That is, you come, you are with God sometimes. There's a way your own work. You are here today, then tomorrow. Like, this thing is difficult. If you are going to fight the devil in 2024 like that, be ready for Satan to use you to do rag. I repeat it again. You can never defeat the devil because he's in his full-time business while you are doing your own part-time. Just the way you like. Come for night vigil. Thing is too much. All this prayer, prayer, prayer. The Bible says we'll wrestle not against what? We wrestle not against what? So there is a fight going on. And fighters are diligent. If you see two boxers on the ring, the one is looking diligently where he can hit the other that will bring him down. He wants to knock him out. He's not there to dance. All those things you are seeing him do like this. He's looking for the targeted point. Where can I hit him? I will knock him out. Once I do that, he will fall. That's what he's looking for. If Satan is looking at us that way, then you and I must be empowered for this year against that trick of Satan. Amen. Hit your chest and say, be diligent. Be diligent. It's very important. Hallelujah. Satan is not joking. Satan will come after every single promise of God hanging on your head. So don't be relaxed. Hallelujah. See some examples. The Bible says we should be diligent in guiding our hearts. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Be diligent in guiding your heart. It says, keep thy heart with all what? Oh, I will enjoy it if you are replying and echoing the thing with me. Keep your heart with all what? For out of it are the issues of life. In 2024, you must guide this place. Very important. And you must do it diligently. Don't do it just anyhow. Mind what you listen to. Follow who no road. It's a common statement now. You are in a place where you can hear something that will help you. Guide your heart. Don't play with your heart. Don't let Satan enter there and finish you for nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been hearing things in the beginning of the year that is pointing towards our heart. It's not a mistake. Oh, God is intentional about what is going on this year. Am I talking to somebody? God is intentional about what is going on this year. He's starting with the heart because you must guide it diligently. One place that you never joke with is your heart. That's your greatest asset. If, in fact, any other part of your body can misbehave. If your heart misbehaves, there's no cure. Eh? Your hand can misbehave. Can cut one part and manage one. Your kidney can misbehave. Can remove one. Eh? If your heart fails, Jehovah. Once it fails, everything is gone. So guide it. Guide it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere by God's grace. Listen. Be diligent with your job. Proverbs 22:29. We read that before. Be diligent with your work. Don't take it anyhow. If you're a business person, you are a worker in church, you are a worker anywhere. You are working, you are doing service, you are rendering service. Please be diligent with it in 2024. Don't take it anyhow. I read the scripture again. Proverbs 12:24. 12:24 this time. Proverbs 12:24. Proverbs 12:24. It said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. What does it mean? The hand of the diligent person will rule. Eh? It says, but the slothful shall be under tribute. What is tribute? The lazy person will be under by forced labor. If you want to be free and bear the rule in 2024, be diligent. If you want to be a servant and be a slave under the hand of our enemy, the devil, then be lazy. Be lazy with spiritual things. Be lazy in prayer. Be lazy in doing the work of the Lord. Be lazy in the things God has listed in his word that we must obey. When you are lazy in them, you would certainly serve the devil. Am I talking to somebody? If you are lazy, Satan will rule over you. If you are diligent and follow scriptures, follow the promises of God, then you will be the one to rule. You determine what happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be diligent to seek the Lord. Hebrews 11:6. Can we read that scripture? Be diligent to seek the Lord. Amen. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is. And he's a rewarder of them that does what? Them that does what? Diligently are looking for him, seeking him. Seeking for the Lord. We have a ministry where prayer is like our everyday thing. In fact, the program for the year, somebody showed me the calendar and said, the program for the year is only July that we have empty. The whole year is covered. Even the July is talking about it's not empty because prayer group is still there. So for the whole year, prayer programs, what are we trying to do? Seek the Lord diligently. There's nobody that ever seeks the Lord diligently and goes back empty. Can I tell us something? That woman with the issue of blood received her healing because of diligence. Do you know what it takes for her to push the crowd? She was ready to fight anybody that would stand on her way. She pushed everybody. I am sure she was about falling, maybe. And say, I beg, this is the last crowd, even if it's the hem, let me touch it. And the moment she touched the hem of his garment, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself could not move anymore. Power left him. He said, Kai, this touch is not ordinary. Who is this person that touched me? He turned to look for the person that did it. Why? Diligence. How long the man who had a case, 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, every day he's moving gradually to the pool for 38 years. When Jesus came to him in John 5, you know, the question the Lord Jesus Christ asked him is very interesting. He said, will you be made whole? The man began to explain, talk how nobody has been able to carry him into the water. Jesus, I'm sure Jesus will be looking at him that come. What's your problem? I'm asking you if you want to leave this place now. You are explaining a long story. Jesus did not want to waste time because he has seen that the man has been there for 38 years, diligently waiting for the moving of the water. Let it just move. Let somebody just carry me inside this place now. And what happened to him? He said, rise up, take your bed, go home. Anybody that will seek the Lord diligently this year, your testimony must change. It was not just a declaration, it's a statement of fact. Diligent. We need it. Amen. We also have to be very diligent in looking for the coming of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:14. Your eye and your attention must be on his coming, so that you not pursue after material things and forget that Jesus is on the way. We had Rapture Watch, so our daddy was answering a question. We're asking him, so what next for the bride? Pastor Lumide asked, what next for the bride? He said, for him, every other person may be looking at Russia, that his eye is on Israel. You see, in as much as he also prays for prosperity and prays for other things, his eye is somewhere. Diligence. Don't remove your eye away from the coming of the Lord. It's a sure promise that will come to pass. Before you begin to think that heaven is the old gospel, don't preach it anymore. Say, Lio, Jesus is coming. Oh. So we must look for the coming of the Lord diligently. I think I'm 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Can we see that scripture? Okay, we can read it. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. As you are seeking for the coming of the Lord, there are certain things that must be shed out of your body. You cannot be seeking for the coming of the Lord the way you like. Jesus is not coming back for almost Jesus. He's coming back for another Jesus. I began to see the importance of the coming of the Lord, you know, as we get closer. It's as if everything is clearer. There's nothing else left for us, brothers and sisters, than to be looking at this Bible and be hoping on God's promise. But I discovered that in 2023, a good number of believers didn't have any time to even open their Bible one day, except they came to church. Is that person diligent? At all. I'm talking to all of us today. Be diligent in seeking his coming. It's part of it. Even your salvation must be sought out diligently. You can imagine. 2 Peter 1:10. Let's read that one, so that you see it. 2 Peter 1:10. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give what? Give what? What should you do? To make your calling and your election what? So it means Peter is telling us, be very sure and do it diligently. Check well. If you see, anytime a sermon is preached, and you excuse yourself from the picture and say, no, be me, pastor, they talk to, it's an evidence that you are the one. Should I say it again? Anytime the word of God is coming forth and you have reason to say, no, be me, it means you are the one. The Bible says, if God should count iniquity, who will stand? No man is without excuse. No man can say, I'm not part. No. As the word of God is coming forth, put yourself so that it can slice you very well. You didn't hear? I say, as the word of God is coming forth, align yourself. Let it hit you. If it hits you in the place that pain you, if you go home, you'll not be able to sleep. You'll still be thinking about it. That's the only way you can be checking yourself. But there are some of us, when the thing comes, it's like you wave it. Hit my neighbor. But when the one for blessing comes, you collect it so much that your neighbor doesn't even have any. The way you shout the amen, I told the children, I said, don't shout amen. I said, that's not with faith. If you want to shout it with faith. Don't receive it as if it's only you. Then you forget about your neighbor. But when the one that comes, that strikes you as a person, you wave it away. be diligent in receiving the corrections from the Lord. It is part of the gospel. It's part of our heavenly race. It's called rebuke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, be diligent in your service for God. It's something I've learned. I learned about Abraham. In Genesis 17, God told Abraham to circumcise everybody under his house. When did Abraham do it? When did Abraham do it? Thank you, man of God. The very same day, Abraham circumcised everybody. Maybe they are over 50. Circumcised all of them, plus himself. Everybody was under pain. Why? A promise that was made to him. If you are going to serve God and receive that testimony, that promise that God has made to you, be diligent in obeying the voice of the Lord. My daughter, take this thing. Go and drop it here. Or my daughter, take this amount of money. Sow it in the church as a seed. I'm planning. I want the money to be plenty. God didn't know you didn't have that money before he told you. What are you planning? This year, as you hear it, do it. A common statement in the mouth of our daddy. He will say, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's what Mary told them. Anything he say, do, just do it. I heard a testimony of a sister who heard that the church, the generator of the church, was bad. And she gave 2.1 million naira to repair the generator. She said she received it in her spirit. And sold it. Immediately she received it. She was sending the money, you know, and several things happened. After she had sent that money, that day, in the evening, somebody called her and gave her 12 million naira. We like to hear the big figures, but we are not able to carry out the actions. We like the big figures. 1 billion. 2 million. If God asks you now to give that one that is in your pocket, say, Kai, now my transport, how I go do am? Okay, make a share. I might give God part, take part. That's not what he said. Whatever he tells you to do, your own is obey and leave the rest for him. For you to actually achieve and fulfill this, for this promise, rather, to be fulfilled and manifest in your life. Be diligent, child of God. Don't plan it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Abraham was so diligent. God told him, go and sacrifice. Carry your only son. Go and give him to me. Your only son. This year, God will be telling some of us, give your only... your only... Some people do not want to complete it. He will not say, give you not your only son this year. But it can be your what the we tagged it Isaac offering. He can tell you, give your Isaac offering. Your Isaac offering is usually very painful. Somebody had dashed me. We went to do interview somewhere. Pastor sent us. The person now gave us $100. Jesus, I said, God. I started calculating $100. Well, we're rejoicing inside the car, coming back. While we were on the road, my brother and sister, I heard it. He said, that is your Thanksgiving offering. I wanted to reject it. I didn't hear anything. Why would I hear that? I'm telling you, heaven is bearing witness of what I'm saying. He said, that is your Thanksgiving offering. It's Thanksgiving that time used to be January, February. February, first Sunday of February that year. And this was in December, somewhere around December, because it was his birthday. So, he said, that money is your Thanksgiving offering. I kept that money inside my wallet. Every day I'm going out, I will open, I will look at it. I'll close it. But don't worry, I'll soon change you, I'll change you. If I say I'll change you, I'll remember he said this is my Thanksgiving offering. Because, you see, when God wants to do something in your life, he must push you to do another thing. Our pastor says he's a God of reaction. In my own little way of studying, I say, move God. Do you want God to move in your life? Move him. Take an action. He said, that's your Thanksgiving offering. Ah, I said, okay, no problem. Ah, for 1 month, 2 months, and $100 was with me. And I'll be looking for money, transport, this one, that one. And so it came February. I put it inside the white envelope. Everybody was dancing. Me too, I danced very well. Dance. I went to the front. Drop it. I say, yes, finally. This burden has left me. We're having our youth vigil inside the church that month, our last general vigil for the month, February. I was inside with the youth. We're firing prayer. It was the end of the vigil. While we're busy dancing, and, you know, praying, my phone vibrated. I brought it out. I checked the phone. $220. I put it back. I said, we're going to pray again. Prayer points came immediately. That month, God tripled it. $300. This is from somebody I have not spoken to how many months back. I said, I should send this to you. What I'm talking about is, this year, God will be asking some of us to give some certain offerings and take some certain actions. Be diligent. Don't question it. Don't plan it. Don't think about it. A sister came to meet me and said, the angel of God appeared to her that she should bless children, but she's saving money. I said, you're saving money for who? I said, give what you have. Did we say you should come and do food for the whole church? Do the one you can do, and we'll take care of it. She said, no, I'm planning it. I said, you are planning what? That's the problem. How can you be planning what God says you should do? You are planning to do the word of God. Noah, go and build an ark. Noah, go and build an ark. What did Noah do? He began to say, God, no problem, I'll build the ark. Let me just consider the wood, you know, several textures of wood. Let me look at this. Let me check this. Then you begin to plan to build the ark. Rain for me, Tam. I hope you know that God was calculating the days for him. God was calculating. By the time the day got to the final one, he pushed everybody inside the ark, shut the door by himself, and rain fell. If Noah had missed one day, what would have happened? The Bible would have been written in a different language. And Noah almost entered the ark. And while he was entering, the rain started. And then they began to run. Serious. Everybody ran. They ran. Some managed to enter. And God shut the door. And so that's where we find ourselves today. It's been a different thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, there's a story in the Bible. I may not be able to place it perfectly, but I beg you to just listen to what I want to say to us from this story. Be diligent in anything you are doing. God is preparing you for a time. You didn't hear me. You see, in 2024, do what you are doing. Do it faithfully. If you are doing something right, do it faithfully. If you are walking, walk right. If you are serving the Lord, serve him with all your heart. That thing he says you should be doing, just be doing it diligently. He is working out something for you. That thing is in the future. Let's read a story. It's a long reading, but I'll paraphrase it. In Judges chapter 4, there is a woman in the Bible that is not really spoken of very well. Her name is Jael. I want us to talk about her from verse 1. The Bible said, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord smote them in the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that he reigned in Hazor, the captain whose host was Sisera, which dwell in Herosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lepido, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, had not the Lord God of Israel commanded thee, saying, go, draw towards Mount Tabor, take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee, to the river Kishosh, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariot and with his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said to her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding. The journey that thou takest shall not be for thy honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak, this year, is thinking that God wants to give him victory. He's the one that will do it. But listen to me, child of God. I want to speak to our women. God has a work for you this year. God wants to give you victory, but it's coming through your hand. There are certain things God will choose the individual to use. But he picks people he has prepared already. And people who have been diligently learning from him. I'll paraphrase the story. And so they went. And this particular Sisera, you know, and his army came and fought. And God was giving Israel victory. And then suddenly, that Sisera ran away. And when he ran away, he ran to a particular woman called Jael. And Jael, verse 18, went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord. Turn in to me. Fear not. And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. There's something about this lady. I want you to see why diligence is important this year. Why you must prepare and follow diligently what God is telling you to do. You are in healing and deliverance, be diligent. You are a minister in the church, be diligent. You are a church worker, be diligent. There is a time coming for that thing God has asked you to do. Be diligent. Listen. And so, and he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him again. Again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when an army doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say, no. And Jael, Heber's wife. You know why they mentioned her husband's name? Because these people dwelt in the land that the king, this Jabin, the king, already was ruling. He had affiliations with them. So the man thought that he was in safe hands. He thought all was well. But God had already prophesied. I don't know what prophecy is hanging on your head. You shall be empowered to fulfill it this year. Amen. It's because you don't understand what I said. That's why your amen is small. In case you don't know, there's a prophecy already on our head. The prophecy says, God is going to restore me. So I don't know about you. That's why I said, if there's any prophecy hanging on your head. Now listen, oh, listen. And, okay, verse 21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and pierced it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. This woman, according to what I read, she's from a tribe where the women are the ones that make tents. Okay. The women are the ones that build tents. Their men are usually doing something else. The women are very good with building of tents. So all the years of her life, she has been nailing. She has been knocking nail, hitting nail, hitting nail. She didn't know she was preparing for Caesarea's head. She was hitting nail. Hitting nail. God was saying, hit it very well. Hit it very well. Hit it very well. I have a purpose for you. You are going to kill the enemy of Israel. And when that day came, It was once. The Bible did not say two times. She hit his head only once. The nail pierced from his temple and hung him on the floor. That's what diligence can do. It is the fruit of being diligent in your work. An opportunity is coming for you, child of God. How ready are you to take hold of it? Jael was nailing. Anybody who saw her that time will say, Jael, the tent maker. She said, my sister, thank you. My sister, thank you. But why she was busy hitting that thing? Why she was busy singing in church? Why she was busy attending prayer group vigil? Why she was busy doing healing and deliverance? Why she was busy ministering to God's people in the way God has told her to do it? She was doing it like that. Some people will say, what is he doing? What's wrong with him? They don't know that God has a plan in the future for him. Keep nailing it. Keep knocking it. Just be hitting it. You are about hitting the head of your enemies. Brethren, be diligent. That woman prepared herself for that work. No wonder the prophecy went ahead of her. He said, Barak, don't worry. You are not the one that will do the victory. The honor will not be on you. There's somebody I have prepared. It's a woman. I have been preparing her since. She didn't know. But I have been working on her. The woman herself, she was jealous for the God of Israel. She was not ready to follow that nonsense they were doing in her kingdom. And when she saw the opportunity, she told the man, come and lie down. And the man drank milk. Be careful of milk this year. Be careful of the kind of milk you take. Or else, you'll find yourself sleeping. Sleeping. Just as Jael is serious. That's how Satan too is serious. I hope you know, if Jael had missed that nail, that man will wake up. Ha! And if he stands up, hey, wait, there's trouble. Jael will run for her life. She will even die that day. Because the man is a general. You know what it takes for the general to be sleeping? God will put our enemies to sleep this year. It must be God that will make them sleep. We are receiving empowerment now. So that our enemies, when they see us, they'll just sleep. And then when they sleep, you do it secretly. You see that she was not singing song. My enemies must die. My enemies must die. Today, my enemies must die. No. That's why you must do it secretly. That your night prayer is very important. You know, there's something our daddy mentioned very softly that I can tell you deep in my heart. The Spirit of God has flogged me several times. How many of us here write our prayer requests, have a prayer list? You see how many hands are up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are very scarce. But our daddy says he has a prayer list. Several times the Holy Ghost has told me, write your prayer request. Make a list of what you want. It helps you to be very focused and intentional. Raise a prayer point now. What do you want the Lord to do for you? Some people will be praying very, very funny things. For God, my Father, bless me. Oh, hey, Jesus, bless me. Bless you with what? Because you are not disciplined. Because you are not diligent. You don't know what you are looking for. So if God show you a aeroplane, Father, that's it. If he remove a aeroplane and show you train, Father, that's it, that one. If he remove train and show you ship, you say, Lord, this is what I've been waiting for. Anything goes. Not this year. Brothers and sisters, as simple as that thing sounds, please write a prayer request. Have a prayer list for 2024. Don't play with it. People who have received results, when they teach you, do as I do. He says he has a prayer list. He has been praying. You'll be calling it, and there's results. So what are you waiting for? Write your own. Do you know what? It's one of the most difficult things to do. Because to sit down and pen it down is hard. Hallelujah. Somebody, you'll be like Jael this year. You will knock your enemies down. There's another person that was very diligent with his tax. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we're here this night. God sought a man that will be diligent to carry the cross. I don't know if the IT people are ready. I want to play a 2-minute video. You know why? I want us to understand what we are coming to come and take. It is the sacrifice of a diligent man. He was very diligent. He didn't do it anyhow. He prepared for it. And when he had the opportunity, he hit the devil once. It was an internal punishment. Satan, it was finishing. It was finishing. No wonder I shouted, "It is finished." Because, thank you, those of us who grew up that age. It's called fraternity. That is brutality. You can't survive it. What he did to the devil, the devil can never survive it. It's not possible. Hebrews say he did it once and for all. Can we see that video and see what we are talking about? Once and for all.
Super facem sua.
Eridite cruce! Crucite! Crucite!
He said, let this man from verse 5. Philippians 2 from verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think about it to be robbery for him to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He didn't claim any right. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became diligent unto death. He was so diligent that his own diligence carried him to die. Even the death of the cross. Now see what happens to him, the reward of diligence. And being, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, at the mention of that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. No matter where you are in heaven, no matter where you are on the earth, no matter where you are under the earth, a diligent man. How many of us is ready to be diligent this year? Be on your feet. Only a diligent man can pay this kind of price for us. Be on your feet.
Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Help me to be diligent. Help me. That is the secret. That is where we make it today. Oh, yes. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the powers to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the powers to do.
Name we pray. Please be seated. We are going to the Lord's table. Communion means so much to us, so much to us Christians. So much to us. Whatever we are going to achieve, whatever we achieve, it is because of the covenant. Church, it is because of the covenant. Hallelujah. Diligence, if I just summarize what my brother just said now, because when I hear a preacher preach, I receive a lot. Yes, because when a prophet is, a true prophet is prophesying, anybody that is also a prophet, you go just enter spirit, they see together with and they go. You even see what he knows, then you go say, In addition, because the road for prophecy open and then you go enter too. So also with preachers. Anytime we listen to a preacher, we learn faster. Diligence, another word for it, as far as what we are seeking empowerment for, what we are preparing ourselves for, is consistency. Whatever you are doing, you must be consistent in it to achieve result. That is what diligence is all about. It's about consistency. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, 58, 59, 60, up to 62, I think. Listen very well.
And it came to pass that as they went in the way.
Listen very well. Listen very well. Those of us that are Christians, listen.
A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. That is it. This year, me, I will follow Jesus. Hear what Jesus said.
And Jesus said unto
Before you follow me, oh, listen. Oh,
foxes have holes.
Foxes have holes. Oh,
and birds of the air.
Birds have holes. Oh,
but the Son of Man.
Me, I not get anywhere where you go follow me sleep. Oh.
And God. He said unto another, follow
another
me.
One again. Follow me.
But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
What did Jesus say?
Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead.
That is the person where get the dead body. Leave them to do their burial ceremony, do their funeral. There is work for you to do. But do what?
But go thou and preach the kingdom of God.
That is, don't let anything stop you.
And another also said,
from doing your duty. It's a duty. We're talking about diligence. Do you know, many of you, let's look at the first category. The first category is think before you follow me. If you think that you are coming into this entire message, the present entire message, you make money, you build house, you get the car, you will do this. this pastor here, for the past 25 years, he never get in your house. Oh. You want to be minister for this church? Okay. Oh. The other one, you are giving God condition, Abby. Okay. Oh. There are people that my pikin is sick. That's why I no come church. My pikin is sick. That's why I no come church. The other one say, Papa die. You want to go bury him. The slightest excuse you have, you leave God walk outside and jump there. Diligence. You won't achieve any result this year if that is your attitude this year. Just telling you now. Even as an unbeliever. Now disco, they arrange every Friday disco for Air Force officers. On Friday, where are they doing? Now my papa die. Then they say, hey, come quickly. Of course, before I reach, my Muslim elder brothers, they don't bury him before I reach. My wife was saying, I said, you know, we get disco this night. When I finish the first flight Saturday morning, I will be with you people. Hey, I said, wait, am I going to wake him up? What am I rushing for? I get work for here. You people don't know why Friday in this church, every Friday, now to get back a setter. As a non-believer, see how we are now that. I mean, so many of you are like that. When it comes to your own things, you are, but when it comes to the things of God, you find all manner of excuses. You, this year, you, it will not be as, it don't go better like last year. It don't go better past last year. I mean to say, the attitude has to change. See, God demands that you take his matter first. First fruit. First born. Now you owe. First, now you owe. First, now you owe. Give him tithe is the first. It's his own. And again, he says, seek him first. First, put God first. When you wake up, don't carry your phone. Put God first. Okay. When you wake up, don't even say good morning. In my house, when we do family deliver, I'm sorry, I said family. Family. It's not deliverance. I don't go family deliverance. So. When we wake up like this, you go see us very religious, and that religion goes just everybody will just come. If you're a visitor, you will say, this children, they're a great person. They will come and sit down. When we share the grace, we finish praying, share the grace, then good morning, mommy. Good morning, daddy. Before we greet each other, we greet Jesus first. What did he say concerning the other one?
And another, verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit.
Wait, first, let me go and greet them around first, then I will come and follow you. You give condition to God. What did he say? That 62 is my emphasis.
And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit.
No man having put your hand in the plow and you are looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that person is not qualified for any reward from God. That is what Pastor Gabriel is trying to bring out, I believe. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, that is why he said this.
For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he had laid the foundation.
Before you start building that tower, don't start and then you, that's what I say, abandon buildings everywhere in the town. The village, abandon village building. The reason is because you have not yet counted the cost of that building. After you become a laughing stock, people say, "No, but this one when they make noise, they disturb us up and down. You don't do foundation. No, if you continue again, then they go say, nah, village people. No, be village people. You did you have money before you start? Then thief the money. That's what he's saying. Before you start any project, look at the cost. And the greater project on earth is the journey from earth to glory. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a decision you have to make. And when you make that decision, there is no turning back. There is no turning back. But the truth about it is, you can put your hand in the plow and look back. What is it that makes you to look back? Besetting sin. Besetting sin. There are things you want to do, it will draw you back. Another one is laziness. Laziness is a spirit. You start. A lazy man has excuse for everything. The Bible says that it says a lazy man says that there's a lion. They say there's a lion in the street. That's why you don't come out to go walk today. There's a lion in the street. So that's why I lie down to sleep for house. Lazy. Lazy man. You know, there are some men and women, they cook. They go find, go walk. Can't give them for house. Shame on you if you are listening to me now. Now village people, there your head. Now course, you must walk. You start. It's very easy to see lazy men. It's very easy when you see lazy. You see man where they put powder for face. You never see them. What do you call some man with a powder and lipstick? Wet lip. They call it wet lip. You dress finish, you spend 30 minutes for mirror. A man that is busy has no time for that. It's women that do that, not men. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to see man where they're very hardworking, there are indices all around him. You will see his hand is rough. If he walk with a hand, his hand is rough. Oh, wow. Or you see his shoe chop one side. That shows a very, very hardworking man. Very, very hardworking man. They are the ones that God will reward, though. They are the ones that God will reward. Because he's a rewarder of them that diligently, consistently serve him. But please, I want to correct something in our minds. See, if God is your father, can I see your hand up? No, put down your hand. Did you hear me? There is the spirit of a son and the spirit of a servant in serving the father. And that's the truth. Listen. We must not serve God so that he will reward us. If that is your mindset, devil will finish you. But at the end of the year, he will tell you, Oh yeah, what did you gain this year? Tell me now. You say you marry this year, you marry. You say you go buy a car, you buy the car. You say you finish your house, did you finish? You say you will get your document, did you get all the things you wrote where you pray, where is it? This idea of I want to give so that I will receive. Don't serve God by contract. Don't serve God. You will not enjoy working with God. I'm telling you a secret. This is the attitude in Luke chapter 17. Verse 7.
But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat. I will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and give thyself and serve me. till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?
Will he, when you do what you are supposed to do, do you expect God to say thank you?
I trow not.
The things that are your obligation, your responsibility, it is a commandment. Then you are doing what you are supposed to do, what you are saved to do, what you are called to do. Then you want God to say thank you. If you don't say thank you with testimony, then you grumble. What did he say the next verse?
So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you.
When you have done all the things that you are commanded to do.
Say
what? We are reading Bible.
We are unprofitable servants.
What should be your attitude?
We are unprofitable servants.
Why?
We have done that which was our duty to do.
There is no big deal. What I have done is what I am called to do. What I have done is what my father has commanded me to do. If you have that attitude, I am doing it because I am supposed to do it. Not I am doing it so that he will bless me. It's wrong. You will have problem with working with God. Satan will finish you. A wife. Is there any? You don't marry. You don't pay bride price now. You will not remain a wife. Only if you cook for your husband. You're already his wife. But when you realize your position, you realize that you have an obligation in this relationship, you play your part. You don't play your part so that your husband will give you money. You don't play your part. You don't cook food for your husband who has gone to look for work so that he will come after eating, then he will bless you. You have done that which is your duty to do. That's all. But the truth is that when he is happy with you, it is about relationship, not contract. That is a misplacement of how to work with God. That is why I love Job 13 verse 15. It's a popular verse. Job 13 verse 15. This is the relationship he has with God. Hear what he said.
Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Again.
Though he slay me.
Even if God finish me.
Yet will I trust
him. I will still trust him.
But I will maintain my own ways before him.
Even if he slay me. I cry from now till December this year. He don't give me anything. He don't answer all my prayer, any of my prayer points. I will still trust him. Hallelujah. That is a relationship. So that's. Satan will not be messing you up. Up to now, don't have fruit of the womb. Did he save you so that you will have fruit of the womb? Which contract did he enter with you before he saved you? It's a free gift. Why then will you serve him and he will pay for it? What kind of relationship is that? A son is automatic. He sees his father's house as his house. How can I clean my room and expect who will come and pat me that your room is clean? It's my room. As I make my bed, so I will lie on it. This year, adopt this attitude.
Amen.
That it is my duty to serve. Look, we are members of one body. This hand, amen, is automatic. It has something to do for this body.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And when he does it, the hand does not thank him. When he scratches him like this, the leg will not thank him. The leg was scratching. The hand's duty was itching. The hand is to scratch it. And when he scratches, the leg will not say,
thank you.
You only enable the leg to move very well.
That's all.
You have done that which is your duty. Praise the Lord. When the hand falls sick, the leg will run to the clinic. This is duty to do it. The hand will not thank the leg for taking me to the clinic. we have to see it that way. Don't help the poor so that God will bless me.
That's right.
But God will be happy with you. That is the interesting thing. Yeah. But avoid Satan, messing you up. Because some blessings come immediately. As those ones that will finish and then you go back again and pray. You know, they come, fiaga. But the one that will stay, you go, just they chop, go they chop. It takes time to be prepared.
Hallelujah.
It takes time to be prepared.
Hallelujah.
And when it is released to you, you chop it forever. You're going to chop forever. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can we stand up now?
Woo.
And let's get to the Lord's table. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you don't know how to walk with God, Satan will mess you up. He will keep reminding you of your failure. Keep reminding you of your inadequacy. Keep reminding you. Hallelujah. And he knows who to use to discourage you. Bad. There are human beings that are bad-mouthed. When they release, open their mouth, throw away something for you, before you recover 2 days, you still think of what he talk. There are some people that will really make you know, make you believe that your head be like coconut head. Unless you go to mirror and see that, you will believe it. The way they will package the thing to say. You go chase girl, if you tell you, say, you don't know your mate. You don't know where to go. I beg. Meanwhile, you thought you are something. Then you will throw one complex on you.